Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Real Life Real Crime Daily for Monday, June 5th, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Hey, guys.
What's up? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Happy first weekend of June.
And first Monday of June.
First weekend in the castle. RLRC, Real Life Real Castle. Did they start digging the moat yet?
On a serious note, today, all these, what is it, like 80 years ago now? Just think about this. On this day, way back when in World War II, there were, 50 or 100,000 soldiers in England preparing to cross the channel.
They were on the way.
For D-Day.
Yeah.
Which is tomorrow, June 6th.
Yeah. Right?
The greatest Crazy. Generation.
Kids.
Yeah, kids. Totally.
Right. All right. So
how much does it cost to get like an 8 or 10 foot alligator? I don't know. What size are the gators you're going to put in the moat?
I eat gators. I don't keep them as pets.
Oh, you won't stock it with gators? Well, what's going to keep people from swimming across the moat?
I'm going to have you over there naked.
that's going to keep people from coming, period.
Kim Potter, the former Brooklyn Center police officer convicted of killing Duante Wright, a 20-year-old black man shot during a traffic stop, was released from a Minnesota correctional facility Monday. Former Minnesota officer Kimberly Potter has been released from prison after serving 16 months of a 2-year sentence in the fatal shooting of Duante Wright, whom she shot after mistaking her gun for a taser during a traffic stop in Brooklyn. Y'all just remember this case, and they had the video and everything else.
Absolutely.
She was reaching for her taser, and she accidentally drew her weapon. It was a horrible case.
And she was distraught. In the moment, it all hit her. She said, I'm going to go to prison.
Right. And she was right. And you know, it doesn't excuse it. You know, I hate it for police officers who aren't making hardly anything, putting their life on the line every day, including incidents like this. But that's just... You got to own your mistakes, right? Potter was convicted of first and second degree manslaughter in April 11, 2021 incident. She had pleaded not guilty to both charges. She was sentenced last year to 24 months and a fine of $1,000. Wright was pulled over for an expired registration tab, we call it an inspection sticker, and a hanging air freshener in the rearview mirror. Potter then determined Wright had an outstanding warrant for a gross misdemeanor weapons charge and tried to detain him. And that's when the incident happened, y'all. As officers were arresting Wright, he escaped the officer's grip and was scuffling with them and when he was shot by Potter. Her attorney said she meant to grab her stun gun, which she did. It was obviously on the video. Y'all could hear that. So Wright, who was in the driver's seat when he was shot, then drove away before crashing into another car. So anyway, she was ordered to serve 16 months. And she served 16 months and is out on 8 months supervised release. So,
and I think this is a good example of how important repetitive training is in not only, you know, obviously in police departments, but not only as it relates to what you do in certain situations, but something like that becomes muscle memory.
It does.
It's like a golf swing.
Absolutely. But, you know, at the time she was fearing for life. And, you know, the judge, Regina Hsu, actually said or called this case one of the saddest cases I've had in my 20 years on the bench.
It really was. I agree with that. And I remember watching that video, and I mean, it was obviously she's full of regret. She'll never forgive herself for this, I'm sure. Yeah. It was totally accidental. She did not intend to shoot this individual. She intended to stun them.
Right.
But it is, you go in that autopilot, right, Woody?
Yeah.
In those situations, stressful situations like that?
I don't know, man. I mean, I didn't have tasers. They had just came out when I was in uniform patrol.
You didn't taser everybody.
We had use of force reports that you had to fill out every time you used force, like freeze or whatever.
Yeah.
And my supervisor, when I was in uniform patrol, she just gave me a blank one. He signed it and ran out Xerox copies because I was using force every night, not in a bad way. And I used to train the young guys. You don't have to go out of your way to be asshole and put your hands on somebody, because there's enough legitimate assholes like this guy was being before he got killed. He was fighting with him, right? And then, but she still was negligent in doing that.
Absolutely. I was just wondering if you had any thought. Okay, boom. I thought you were going to say something regarding.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Boom. So we're going to move to I would just call this a bizarre, interesting case out of South Carolina.
South Carolina.
A man has been arrested.
It's not Murdaugh, is it?
No, it's not.
A man was arrested.
Surprisingly, it's not someone with the last name Murdaugh. But
I did not kill Pawpaw.
Right. He did not kill Pawpaw. Or
I would never hurt Maggie.
Maggie. Okay, so a South Carolina man has been arrested after he robbed a store using a spray painted. Y'all get this. Listen up now. Nintendo Duck Hunt game pistol.
There you go.
Yes. David Joseph Del Sandro, 25, was quickly apprehended after he presented a gun and robbed the Sharon Quick Stop convenience store. The incident took place on May 30th when witnesses tell police a person came in the store wearing a mask, a wig, and a hoodie sweatshirt. The person showed the clerk the fake gun in the waistband of his pants and demanded money from the cash register. Of course, the clerk complied and gave him $300 cash. Deputies located him in the parking lot of the Dollar G down the street.
All right. The Dollar G last night.
They found the duck hunt pistol in his pants, and he was arrested and booked into the county detention center. And how about that?
You know what?
Duck hunt, baby.
He wasn't hard to find. It wasn't because of the duck hunting pistol, because I saw the picture of him. He had blue hair.
Blue hair.
I mean, like,
we're going to post that picture on Facebook.
It's the white dude with blue hair.
Yeah. Yeah, with a freaking duck hunt pistol.
Duck hunt.
Okay, you know what? I got to call a
go ahead.
5-yard penalty on Jim on this.
Uh-oh.
This story needed banjos. This guy's a moron.
It would qualify.
This is a banjo story. Right.
Well, I wanted to tell
Jim
it.
Jim scooped
funny.
It for himself.
That's good,
because
he
wanted,
told it well. Though.
Well, and he knows what a duck. Hey, I have no idea what that is. Dude, what does that look like?
Mike, you look. So I'm a professional.
Totally fake.
It's like a little plastic thing.
He had to spray paint it. And that's crazy.
It's just. It's like a Buck Rogers pistol.
Hey, Jimmy, you know, I have hundreds of thousands of hours of interview and interrogation and body language, and everything is what I do. And Mike is over there, shoulder slumped. He's like really seriously distressed he didn't get to do the story on banjo.
Well, it's really hurting.
We're going to hear about this shit right here, Mike.
That guy is so lucky the counter didn't go, you know, nice Nintendo gun,
Away. The story we told on last Friday, the guy with 4 water bottles.
Even more disturbing, though, Woody, is the fact that Mike didn't know what a duck hunt gun was. How the hell you don't know what a duck hunt gun is?
Guys, I could never kill a ducky.
Oh my God. Duck sausage? Oh my God.
Kill a ducky. I couldn't. I've never even eaten duck breast wrapped
with cream cheese and bacon
delicious.
And jalapenos.
I just think they're cute. Hey, and
we're going to school you.
I just see duck after duck, and the mothers cross the road, and the little babies behind them.
You take it. The fillet of the breast, and you put the cream cheese and jalapenos in the middle, and wrap it up. of bacon, and you take two fixings, put it through it, and put it on your Traeger.
Okay. As soon I need to ask you a question.
As soon as the bacon is done,
I need to ask you a question because I need to find out if you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Right. You're on a duck hunt.
Mm-hmm.
There's a duck, and there's like six little ducklings behind her.
Mm-hmm.
She's right there for you to Let me educate you.
Okay, you don't shoot ducks that are walking; they're flying.
I mean swimming.
You don't shoot ducks that are swimming.
Oh, you're not allowed to shoot them when they're swimming.
I mean, you could.
They don't fly that much.
Yeah, they do. The duck hunt is about shooting them in the air.
Well, how do you get them to fly? Most of the time, they're swimming in a pond.
The Southern Flyway. We know you from New York and California. You don't understand
about the Southern Flyway. This is an interstate for ducks.
This is an aerial interstate. It really is. It's called the Southern Flyway. Look it up. They fly from Canada when it gets cold as fuck up there, and they fly straight down this. This is called the Southern Flyway.
Yeah.
The Southern
Flyway. Put out your duck calls. Get your duck call.
Hey, I was sitting in a duck blind one time. I think it was Spencer Callahan. And I was down in the blind, and I heard doop, doop, doop. It sounded like a Huey UH-1B. When I was in the Army, that's helicopters we used before they had Blackhawks. It literally sounded like helicopters coming in. And I was like, what the hell are the helicopters coming for? He said, look up. And looked up. The sky was black with geese. That's, I mean, it was like thousands of them. But it's a big problem down here, too, because they eat all the rice and shit in the field. So,
yeah.
But anyway.
But you don't do... those Canadian geese you don't kill, do you?
Fuck yeah,
you can. you eat those things?
Man, Cajuns eat crabs and oysters and crawfish.
Well, crabs, oysters, and crawfish are delicious. Wait a minute,
how hungry did the first person have to be to eat those? It's much easier to shoot a bird out the sky, even with a bow and arrow. People do that. They hunt with bow and arrows.
Forgive Mike's ignorance.
Yep. Well, that's okay. Stay with us.
Yankee.
I don't even know if it qualifies you. Yankee. What do you call a Yankee and a Californian?
Oh, gosh.
Mike Agravino.
A mutt.
Speaking of California.
All right, let's do it.
Let's have a segue. The latest in a long line of brilliant, and I mean brilliant, maneuvers by that DA Gascon out there in Los Angeles, who goes by the motto, this is their official. I mean, this is the official.
It's
2023
it's
motto.
Hooey.
It's if it's stupid, let's do it. The God. Los Angeles County government is handing out free pipes for smoking crack, meth, and opioids as part of its effort to reduce.
Is this fake news?
To reduce drug overdoses. The pipes are being handed out along with clean needles and other supplies as part of the county's, quote, harm reduction effort, which also includes supplies aimed at avoiding and reversing overdoses. The effort's being met with some opposition, as you might expect.
They've been doing the needles, but I don't understand the crack pipes.
Well, Manuel Campito, who runs a cleanup organization on Skid Row in L.A., compared crack pipe giveaways to assisted suicide. He said, I wouldn't get pipes to give out myself. He's a recovered addict. He said, you know, Dr. Kevorkian, assisted suicide, that's pretty much what this is. Harm reduction efforts aim to reduce dangers in drug use, such as prevalence of fentanyl, rather than reducing drug use itself. And so basically they've determined if we give them clean needles and we give them all the equipment, maybe they're less likely to do fentanyl. I mean, just unbelievable.
That doesn't make any sense. But the needles thing has been going on forever. This is the first time I ever heard about crack pipes. Trivia questions. Jim, don't say it. Give me two street names for crack pipes other than crack pipes. If I roll up on you and I pull you over and you put your hands in your pocket and I get a little nervous and not nervous, I'm gonna be like, take your hands out of your pocket. You automatically, usually when you hold a nope, you can put your hands back in your pocket and I'm gonna say, well, officer safety, put your hands on the hood of the car and I'm Pat Frisch, officer safety, and I find your crack pipe. What am I gonna say when I grab it? Or what am I asking?
You know, I have to admit, my lingo on crack pipes is lacking.
Well, for you, I would say automatically, and when I pat Frisco, I say, oh, What is this, your glass dick?
I would say, no, I'm just happy to see you, officer.
Glass dick, a horn, any numerous names. That's why they don't even call it.
Oh, an official name for it is a glass dick.
Yeah. If it's, when the lips are burning, say, up, you've been sucking on that glass dick. Glass, it gets hot.
Glass yeah. anaconda, yeah.
Or the lighters, the back of the lighters are ripped off, so when they press it down, the metal part doesn't burn their fingers. And they go,
God. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't know the answer to that question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you just finished with that stupid-ass story. He's just doing more.
No. Well, I'll cut it off after I give you a couple of stats. How's that?
All right.
Believe it or not, L.A. County has increased its, quote, harm reduction budget from $5.4 million a year to now they're going to spend $31.5 million a year.
Give me 10% of that.
In recent years, homelessness deaths have spiked, largely due to the prevalence of fentanyl. So their idea is to throw an extra $26 million at this problem to help keep the homeless alive and allow them to smoke their crack and their meth more safely.
That makes no sense.
More than half.
If the drug's got fentanyl, you're still putting it in the glass dick and you're going to suck it.
More than half of the nearly 1,500 homeless people who overdosed on drugs in 2020 and 2021 tested positive for fentanyl.
But it doesn't matter.
My former home is falling apart.
A young kid, and I can say a young kid, a 24-year-old who is best friends with my daughter, died just a couple weeks ago. He's been in my bar at headquarters.
And, oh, I remember when that
happened. And he died from fentanyl, fake Xanax laced with fentanyl, right? My son told me yesterday that three of his friends, two females and one guy, all college students, all OD'd the other day on fentanyl, and they thought they were taking something else.
Wow. They live?
Yeah, they did live. So they ought to give out fucking Narcan instead of glass dicks.
Should be in every dorm hallway.
Right.
Should be.
It's crazy.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, right. Boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different for Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple And in the end, mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I don't even understand it. And here we are. Florida police have identified a murder victim known as Trunk Lady. After officers found her remains in a black steamer trunk in a wooded area of St. Petersburg on Halloween in 1969. Jim Chapman.
1969.
St. Petersburg police on Tuesday. Jim wasn't even itching his daddy's pants. Yeah.
Miramar Mets.
5 years away from
St. Petersburg police on Tuesday named Sylvia June Atherin, a mother of five from Tucson, Arizona, as the trunk lady. 53 years after they discovered her body partially clothed in a pajama top and wrapped in plastic bags inside a trunk. I wouldn't think plastic bags were that prevalent back in 69. Authorities determined at the time that Atherin had been strangled to death with a man's Western-style bolo tie. Atherin was buried in a grave marked as Jane Doe after officers found her body, but it was exhumed for testing in 2010. Investigators tried multiple times over the years to test bone and teeth samples for the victims, but they were too degraded. This year, St. Petersburg cold case detective Wally Pavleski discovered on an original sample of the victim's hair and skin taken during the original autopsy and sent it to a lab in Texas. And St. Petersburg's police said in the press release in April, a DNA profile resulted from the sample, and DNA profiles were obtained from her children to confirm the identity.
My God.
And she was 41 years old when she died, and she had moved from Tucson to Chicago with her husband, Stuart Brown, and three of her children prior to her murder. Wow. Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
53 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they are going to be digging people up from the 1800s soon.
Yep.
Because
murder people.
This tech has gotten to ancestral
DNA. Mike, you and I might be related.
I'm on Ancestry. Are you on Ancestry?
Yeah.
Okay.
I might be your daddy.
I could be your daddy. I might have a partial claim to the RLRC.
Look, a Michigan man has allegedly killed his sister, y'all, when both draw guns during a family business dispute.
There you go. I guess one was faster.
That's the way to settle.
So this Michigan man was arrested this month for allegedly killing his half-sister over an apparent business dispute about the company the two co-owned. Zachary Holston III was charged with second-degree murder and felony firearm after he and his sibling got into a confrontation outside their family business. Holston, who was 50, was exiting the workplace when he was approached by the victim along with her husband and daughter in the parking lot. Holston and the victim then got in a verbal dispute. As Holston was getting into the car, three family members approached the passenger door where a physical altercation erupted over documents that were subsequently found in the vehicle. At this point, both parties drew their firearms and exchanged gunfire.
Wow.
The woman.
Family love. Huh?
Yeah, the woman was later
found. Did they go to like 20 paces or something? I mean, was it a.
If she was sitting down, she was definitely at a disadvantage.
The woman was later pronounced dead at the hospital while Holston was not injured in the shootout. The victim was identified as Holston's half sister, Rita Evans. Holston was CEO of Cath Chemicals.
I was about to ask you, what was it?
And Evans was CFO. The soap making company said in a statement that it is fully cooperating with law enforcement and the investigation, Bond was set at $500,000 cash surety and includes a GPS tether with home confinement, a mental health evaluation, and no contact with the victim's family or business.
That's her.
Which is kind of weird, right? Because it's his business and his family as well.
Right.
So
crazy.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got to be careful who you go, you know, you really got to trust people you go into business with, period.
Yeah.
But then when it's family, it can either be really good or really bad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I know some family businesses that have been destroyed.
Yeah,
the family aspect.
You ever shoot anyone in your family?
Never shot anyone in my family. No.
I'm trying to think about
a relative, distant relative.
I've had several want to shoot me.
But working with your family is a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, because it's
not recommended.
I mean, I love my wife, and she does a great job.
You got to have a strong relationship.
But it's tough when you work together, and basically, it seems it's all that we do. But.
There's no time, you know, you're around each other to the point that it's always work.
Well, and just ad lib this real quick. My daughter's birthday dinner, and I think I might have told y'all this story before. I was late to the dinner, and they're all sitting at the table in this restaurant. I walk in and I sit down, and about couple minutes later, they all bust out laughing. I'm like, what the hell are y'all laughing at? And they said, we took bets on how long it'd take you before you started talking about business. And it didn't take like 2 minutes. So,
yeah. My wife and I actually worked together at a point in time. And I was not her direct boss, but I was a boss.
Right.
And she would at times be in meetings that I was leading, and I could look down the conference room table or in the audience
your ass
and
in
see her looking at me with that, you know, fuck you face.
Yeah.
And just, it just,
but
after a point in time, she just said, I need to move somewhere else so we don't kill each other.
Props out to my wife and my daughter that works for us now. But I mean, my wife does everything and she's that I can't do. Right. And, but it doesn't make it any easier. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, guys, shout out to the nurses.
Yes, I have nurses, teachers, law enforcement, firemen.
But particularly the nurses.
Yeah.
But in a profession with so much good, there's always a bad egg.
Oh, well, any profession.
Out there. We're going to talk about a nurse in Pennsylvania who I think by the end of the story you guys are going to say might be one of the bad ones. She's now a former registered nurse because she was arrested this month on homicide charges in the state of Pennsylvania.
Uh-oh.
Her name is Heather Presti.
Oh,
and Woody. Woody, come on, Woody. Jim. I'm sorry, Heather. That's not fair of them to do that. Heather is from Natrona Heights. She's accused of having prescribed excessive amounts of insulin to patients, ultimately killing two patients and hospitalizing a third. She's 40 years old. She was arraigned on two counts of homicide, one count of attempted murder, one count of aggravated assault, three counts of neglect of a care-dependent person, and three counts of reckless endangerment. It's unclear if Presti has entered a plea yet to those charges or retained an attorney. She's being held at Butler County Prison without bail and is expected back in court tomorrow, June 6th. Presti worked as a registered nurse at a place called Quality Life Services. Quality Life Services.
Right.
A skilled nursing – it's supposed to be a skilled nursing facility in Chicora, which I've never heard of Chicora, Pennsylvania. And she worked there from May of 2022 until November of 2022. So she only lasted 5 months.
Right.
Or thereabouts, during which time prosecutors claim she gave three different patients too much insulin, resulting in hypoglycemia, low blood sugar, according to a criminal complaint. According to the complaint, a 55-year-old man died, an 83-year-old man died, and after receiving lethal doses of insulin while under Presti's care. A third alleged victim, who was 73, survived after emergency hospitalization. The allegations in the case outline the callous abuse of incredibly vulnerable patients by a professional nurse, the Pennsylvania Attorney General said in a release. As the charges indicate, these were deliberate and intentional acts perpetrated by a caregiver who was trusted to care for these victims. What I found kind of incredible was that Presti had been Since 2018, she had worked for 11 different facilities.
Yeah.
So 5-year period, really 4-year period,
yeah, that's a
11 different facilities. So she never lasted long anywhere. And authorities claim they, quote, identified a pattern of Presti being disciplined for abusive behavior towards patients and or staff at each facility, resulting in her resigning or being terminated. How does the process of hiring in the nursing field not identify people like this? I mean, to be able to get 11 positions over that 4-year period, yeah, keep getting rehired, it's ridiculous.
It happens. I've seen cops getting and they let them resign instead of whatever and give them good recommendations so they go down the road.
But in her defense, I mean, in her heart, I think each of these were cases
there's
where—
There's no fucking defense for her.
No, but in each of these cases were cases where—
She gets nurses bad
she,
names.
You know, she decided that that the patient would be better served to
whatever
be dead.
So she's God. Yeah.
She played God.
Yeah, that's—
And actually, y'all wouldn't believe how often it happens. I used to have the contract with the Louisiana Physician Examiner Board and the Nursing Board, and I polygraph their doctors and nurses that got put on probation, and they had tests with me every 90 days, make sure they weren't violating terms of probation. And you wouldn't believe the shit some people do. But that is in every profession. Every single profession. I love my nurses. And I mean, when I was in the hospital for so long, there's this one lady who was a real bitch. And I'm like, if you don't like, you hate your job so much, go get another fucking job. I'm sick. Right. But the rest of them are angels. So, but that's in every profession.
Look, yep. I'm married to one.
We're definitely, and we love Wendy too. We're definitely not throwing any shade on nurses.
Bedside manner goes a long way.
Exactly. That's right.
As they say,
we love our nurses.
Yeah. So, horrible
all right,
chick right there.
This story is disturbing. An Arizona mother has pleaded guilty to child abuse and murder charges this month after her son starved to death in 2020 when she locked him in a closet and denied him food. Elizabeth Archibek reached a plea agreement with prosecutors and will be sentenced over the summer after her 6-year-old son, Deshaun Martinez, died of starvation. He weighed 18 pounds at the time of his death. The boy's father, Anthony Martinez, and his grandmother had all been charged with first-degree murder, kidnapping, and child abuse. The three cases were being tried separately. Both Anthony and Ann have previously pled not guilty. They're not going to plead guilty to the death penalty. And Archibek will not be eligible for probation if she is sentenced to life in prison. She will also not be eligible for parole or work release. The boy was initially found unresponsive in the family's Flagstaff apartment and died at a hospital with a coroner, ultimately determined that he died of starvation.
My God.
Arrest records at the time alleged that Deshaun and his 7-year-old brother were kept in a closet for about 16 hours a day. That's just crazy. When the authorities responded, Deshaun was laying unresponsive and his sibling was still in the closet. The parents allegedly told authorities that the pair would steal food at night and that Deshaun was dealing with a medical condition and allegedly, you know what, fuck that. I'm not even giving them the parents' defense on this bullshit. That's just bullshit. You starve your kids, you lock them in a closet, murder by you.
Well, 16, I mean, weren't the kids were school age, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
so
I
mean, they weren't going to school?
Apparently
they must
not
have been if they were locking them up 16 hours a day.
According to the autopsy, Deshaun was 34 pounds at age 4, but only weighed 18 pounds when he died.
Jesus Christ, man.
Now, you know what? I take back my earlier statement or previous show statements about fire deaths. That would be the worst way to go. And they had a case here in Louisiana from where I'm from, basically the same parish. The parents, and these were good people. We thought they were good people. They had a handicapped older daughter, and they left her on the couch. And by the time this was discovered, she literally starved to death and melted into the couch. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think starvation would be the worst way to go. Ugh. I don't know. Fire's pretty bad too. But starvation takes longer. Yeah. Murder, bayou.
Period.
And then they get to prison, they're going to kill him anyway.
A Baton Rouge man is behind bars after an investigation into the theft of a vehicle on Memorial Day. Andrew Davis, who is 19 of Baton Rouge, is one of six people accused of taking part in an armed robbery around 5 o'clock p.m. on Memorial Day. The armed robbery happened at the intersection of Skysail Avenue and Port Drive in Baton Rouge. A member of the EBR Sheriff's Office spoke with the person whose vehicle was allegedly taken. The victim stated he was held at gunpoint by six males. The victim handed over his cell phone and wallet before he was punched and kicked. The investigator was told by the victim that all the suspects had guns and none of them were wearing masks. And as the investigation unfolded, four suspects were finally taken into custody. The victim identified those four in lineups as participants. Three of the four suspects were juveniles. They were charged in custodial agreements and processed. Deputies say the juvenile detention center could not take in the suspects since the facility was at capacity.
Yeah, that's been a problem.
Davis was the fourth suspect, and he admitted that he was present for the robbery and did confess to kicking the victim. He claimed the victim owed money to one of the men, and he was booked into the EBR Parish Prison in charge with armed robbery. A bond has not been set.
Crazy. 99 years.
And it's these kids, man.
Yeah.
These kids, it seems like they're getting younger and younger doing this dumb shit.
Yep.
They are.
It's no respect for life.
No respect for life. No respect for elders.
No respect for anybody's property or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
No respect for our military.
Anyway. Exactly. Just horrible situation. But there's your Baton Rouge news.
Mm. Well, it's hard to believe this was 5 years ago, but I'm sure you guys remember the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas high school shooting down in Florida. Finally, the case against the school resource officer is coming to trial here. I'm calling this the pussy prosecution.
Right.
Would he permission to use that? That's pussy prosecution.
No derogatory term you like towards y'all ladies. It's towards the little bitch that hid behind the pole.
So jury selection scheduled to begin in the trial of former resource officer who remained outside the Parkland, Florida high school as a gunman massacred 17 people, marking the rare prosecution of a law enforcement officer over his or her response to a mass shooting.
Or lack of response.
Yeah. Or lack of response. This guy's name is Scott Peterson. He retired from the Broward County Sheriff's Office as scrutiny of his conduct during the February 2018 shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School mounted. He's pleaded not guilty to 11 charges, including 7 counts of felony child neglect, 3 counts of culpable negligence, and 1 count of perjury in connection with the shooting and statements he made in the aftermath. Peterson, now 60, failed to follow his training by remaining behind a position of cover for at least 45 minutes, prosecutors say, while the 19-year-old shooter roamed the halls of the school's 1,200 building, killing 14 children and 3 staff members and leaving 17 others injured. After Peterson arrived outside the building, prosecutors alleged the gunman fired his weapon some 75 times, killing 6 people and injuring 4. Peterson was widely criticized after authorities revealed he had been armed but stayed outside. You might remember when then-President Donald Trump chimed in. I wish I could do a Trump impression, but said, quote, when it came time to get in there and do something, he didn't have the courage or something happened, but he really did a poor job. There's no question about it, end of quote. Peterson has maintained he did nothing wrong. He's claimed in part he didn't enter the building because he didn't know where the gunfire was coming from, which other officers have testified he told them as they arrived and could not have found and engaged the shooter in time to protect the victims. And his attorneys argue he was not properly equipped to confront the shooter who had an AR-15. There was no duty on the part of Peterson to protect the victims, they wrote. Believe it, that's a quote. There was no duty on the part of Peterson to protect the victims. That's what his defense attorneys say. Prosecutors argue differently, obviously, that if Peterson had spoken to fleeing students about the suspect's description or he had entered the building, he would have seen the dead bodies and he could have helped determine the shooter's whereabouts. The defendant could have called for rescue, heard the shots on the second and third floors, and broadcast the shooter's location, all without actually engaging the shooter in a gunfight, according to prosecutors. The charges against Peterson are unusual, even in a nation that tallies, unfortunately, dozens of shootings, school shootings each year. And this case has been called a first of its kind. While Peterson was a member of law enforcement, prosecutors charged him under a statute applying to caregivers, arguing that as a school resource officer, he had a duty to protect students and teachers, but expose the victims, namely the children under 18, to harm through his inaction. The shooter, Nicholas Cruz, pleaded guilty to 17 counts of murder and 17 counts of attempted murder, and he was sentenced to life in prison last year. And since that point, we have all been waiting for this case to come to trial, and now it finally has.
He's full of shit. I remember when we swapped from doing basically standoffs after Columbine, when we train, everybody's trained now to respond to the threat, to eliminate the threat. This dude damn well had the train, and he hid behind the pole. They got him on camera. I remember seeing the video footage. He's squatting down behind the pole.
Yeah,
he's a bitch.
No, and even in if you look at the heroism in the Nashville case,
even it's the principal,
even school administrators running toward the sound of the gunfire.
He's a bitch.
Well, let me tell you this, and so Kelly Jennings, who does Unspeakable, actually interviewed Max Schachner. Max Schachner is pretty much the spokesperson for the victims of this particular shooting at Parkland. And when the subject of Scott Peterson was brought up during this interview that Kelly did, Max Schachner's entire attitude changed to, you know, you could tell he was very emotionally pissed.
Right, he should be.
At that guy. And look, he called him every name in the book right there on that podcast because that guy did nothing.
Yep.
Coward. Yep. Coward.
Two kinds of cops.
Well, I think
ones that need a badge to feel like a man like him. I mean, I'm not knocking school resource officers at all. There's a place for them. A lot of my buddies are doing that. And generally, it's when you get tired of working on the street or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty. One of my best friends back in the day was a school. He was a DARE officer, but one of the first school resource officers there were. And he had multiple schools he took care of, but he got a lot more time for hunting and fishing and shit too. So I'm not knocking it, but sometimes they get placed there. It's like
They're being put out of the pasture.
Sort
of speak.
And you lose your edge maybe. A little bit too,
or you never had the edge, right?
Yeah, that guy right there. It's a coward.
Sometimes they need a body, and certainly never thinking that school shooting was going to happen. And for you listeners out there, I know you're all true crime junkies. This is Scott Peterson. It is not related to Scott Peterson who murdered his wife and baby.
Yeah, but I bet that guy's
but another coward.
There's another guy with his right. Yeah, I don't think anybody with the last name Peterson is going to be naming their kid Scott in the years ahead.
Well,
springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, I'm going to tell you about a buddy of mine. You know, we need a section just for school buses because this happens. Stupid shit happens on school buses all the time. Buddy of mine, Mike Parlow, is about to retire up in Wisconsin this year from driving school buses. Great guy. But in Pennsylvania, Mike Agravino's favorite place, a bus driver, this is going to piss y'all, has been accused of using duct tape to restrain a 10-year-old boy with Down syndrome.
So fucking awful. Right?
Upper Darby school bus driver Juliet Pratt, 54, admitted to the district attorney's office that this was not the first time she had duct taped the boy to his seat.
That's disgusting.
She was arrested and charged with unlawful restraint, false imprisonment, endangering the welfare of a child, and assault. Police were called out after reports, you know, that she had assaulted the kid. And the student who has Down syndrome was already sitting in a district-supplied safety harness, y'all. So that makes it even worse that she duct-taped him in. According to DA, the child was not acting out or causing any issues that require the bus driver. The child was restrained in a harness on the bus on a special harness. This is a child with Down syndrome and was not doing anything to act up in any way. The driver decided to use duct tape to tape his ankles and to tape across his chest as well.
Mm.
After arriving at the elementary school, Pratt, the bus driver, the idiot, used a seat belt cutter to remove the tape from the child and threw it into the trash. And they have it on surveillance video, y'all, that showed her wrapping the duct tape around the child's ankles and chest, even as he was sitting in the safety harness. That's just...
Why?
And just, I don't know. But she said it's not the first time she did it.
And look, yeah, that's disgusting. Disgusting. And bus drivers...
Ass whipping.
Bus drivers have probably the... I could not imagine. Look, my kids were younger, I have two of them in the car. I'm ready to drive off a cliff. Yeah. You know, it's just...
Hey, look, they get enough before the butt crack of dawn and dealing with that and, you know...
Right, but that's the type of stuff that's the type of bus drivers you don't want.
Exactly. Another example of any profession can have somebody as bad. My buddy Mike Parlow, who's about to retire this year from bus driving and maintenance at a school in Wisconsin, he would beat this bitch's ass.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I'm just bewildered here with why...
You wait to see
what
goes
the
to
behavior could have been that would have.
He's already led to her.
Someone that would do that. It didn't take
you
much.
You know how much the safety restraint has to be tested for them to approve that for a child with Down syndrome before they install it. You know that she can't say it was a danger to himself or her. The child's already restrained.
I would just like to hear what her story is with that because it's just so hard to. So hard to believe.
Rolling on.
All right, Mile High Crimes.
What?
That's right. It's time for Mile High Crimes.
I mean, now get up and move about the cabin. The smoking sign has been turned off. Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
So we're going to tell you about a little General Hospital star.
Uh-oh.
General Hospital star was arrested after passing out drunk at a South Carolina airport, and this is his second public intoxication arrest.
We just did one last week on General Hospital.
Look, these soap opera stars.
What's going on with General Hospital people?
I'm telling you. Emmy-winning actor Tyler Christopher, 50, best known for his role as Nicholas Cassadine on long-time-running soap, General Hospital, was found on the floor fast asleep on Friday at the Charleston airport. Cops were alerted to the snoozing soap star and woke him. Christopher told the authorities he had missed his flight before he was handcuffed and booked for public intoxication. The authorities said Christopher displayed clear signs of being intoxicated and he was unable to care for himself. He was released shortly after his arrest and given a court date. Now, this wasn't the first time this Indiana native, and who else is from Indiana, y'all?
Follow basketball. White boy.
That's right. That's right. I'm surprised Mike didn't beat Woody the Punch on that one now.
Well, there are many people from Indiana. I didn't know that's where you were going. You were looking for Larry Bird.
Larry Bird. In November 2019, he was arrested for public intoxication in his hometown of Martinsville, forcing him to spend his 47th birthday behind bars. After that incident, an Uber driver had alerted officers to his lewd behavior after he passed out and urinated on himself after being dropped off at his home. In that same month, he was arrested again for being intoxicated and cited for harassing, annoying, and alarming another person. Now, it was not clear if he was drunk or if he had taken a controlled substance during that incident. In 2022, he appeared on the mental health podcast State of Mind with former General Hospital castmate Maurice Bernard, a.k.a. Sonny. During that episode, he spoke openly about his alcohol addiction and his first drink at age 9. Wow. At some point, you can't survive it, he said. At some point, it'll kill you. And it has. 3 times I have flatlined, and nobody knows that. 3 times I have flatlined, and they brought me back. 2 from alcohol poisoning, 1 from withdrawal. That year, he also shared his journey of recovery and his mental health. He posted on his social media saying he was returning to California to get back to work. So more troubles.
Now he can go back.
General Hospital stars.
He can go back on the podcast and say, and 2 times I was arrested for being passed out during a mile high crime while trying to get on the airplane.
There you go. But, you know, I didn't know you could actually flatline from withdrawals.
That's news to me, too. I mean, maybe they were trying to do something horrible to his character, and that's what set him off.
Yeah,
but
just to tell you real quick, Martinsville, the NASCAR racetrack is in Virginia.
I was actually arrested for public intoxication once. And
I see that in his eyes.
Few of us went to a place that probably doesn't exist these days outside of Nashville called Casa Gallardo that served what they called Why Not Margaritas.
I bet it was a margarita special.
And I don't know how many we had during happy hour, but we had way too many. And we were really obnoxious, and the manager was not happy with us and asked us politely to leave.
Right.
And so we left, and I had a buddy by the name of Arnie Hess in the car with me, and this is Whitebridge Road in Nashville. We decided that the first thing we needed to do was buy more alcohol as we left the place. Yeah. So we stopped at a quick stop that was right down the hill, and as soon as I pulled into the quick stop, I had 2 police cars, one at each side of the back of the car.
You know
and
why?
I had about $40 in my checking account, and I just started shitting bricks. Mm-hmm. And Arnie is a bit of a character. I mean, a character. Right. To this day, a character. And Arnie is so psyched that the two of us are going to get arrested. He knows we're going to get arrested. And he is fired up about it, right?
Yeah.
And so he's doing they called me Aggo, and he's going, Aggo, this is the greatest. We're going to get arrested again. I'm like, Arnie, none of this is funny. I got $40 in a checking account. I can't call my parents. I'm absolutely effed. Just shut up and do whatever the cop says. So the cop comes, grabs me, and cuffs me, and I'm now in the back of a police car. I can't remember if I took the breathalyzer yet or I take it later, but he's obviously not going to do anything to Arnie.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting back there thinking, shit, this is getting worse. I'm going to have to go through this alone. And then I see Arnie take the cop had thrown his, he had a leather jacket, he had thrown the leather jacket on the hood of my car when he was messing with me and getting me cuffed. Arnie got out of the car and took the cop's leather jacket.
Oh, yeah, that's
so.
It's like punching a horse.
Yeah, he's doing everything he can do to get arrested, right? So the cop finally sees he's got his leather jacket on.
Then he probably got his ass whipped, too. Yeah.
So Arnie's arrested now, too. So, and now he's really fired up. The two of us are being driven downtown, and it's, you know, it's not going to be good. We get to downtown, and they put us in a cell, and the first thing Arnie says to the cop, who he's calling Gary. By this time, he's become buddies with Gary. He says, Gary, I'd like clean sheets and a wake-up call at 7. He says to the guy, right?
So we're going to call that Mike's
after like,
crime
no,
story.
That's not my crime story. After like 10 minutes, I start asking if I can make a phone call. And Arnie's causing all kinds of trouble. The cop comes over and he's like, look, I'm going to separate you guys if you don't stop. This looks bad. So he separates us. Then we finally come together like 45 minutes, an hour later to go in front of the night court judge for the official booking. So
night court.
Yeah. Whatever. So I go up first and Mr. Agamino, you've been charged with blah, blah, blah. Do you understand the nature of these charges? Yes, Your Honor. Arnie comes up. Mr. Hess, you've been charged with public drunkenness. Blah, blah, blah. Do you understand that? And Arnie says, I have one objection, Your Honor. He puts his arm around the cop. He goes, until Gary pulled me out of Mike's car, I was privately drunk.
I bet the judge will love that.
Believe it or not, the cop ended up loving us,
yeah.
Ended up showing up at Friday Kegs at the frat house.
There you go.
And I actually don't officially have a record because Gary didn't show up for whatever hearing he was supposed to show up for. So and thanks, Gary, if you're out
there. And after all these years, you still get to tell a story, which is love.
That's it.
Yes.
What was it, Aga? It's love.
Y'all remember the TV show Night Court?
Yeah, I also remember that. I remember the public defender.
She lived in my neighborhood in L.A.
Yeah, she
passed away.
I think she was kind of a smoke show.
She was. She died young. She died like 2 years ago.
What was her name?
All I see is a short blonde hair.
Yep. Yep.
It's a very different, very unique
name. I can be lookism on that because that's when I was young.
Yeah,
no, but really sweet lady.
She played in a movie. About heroin, chasing the dragon or something like that.
Yeah.
But she was a mom that got addicted to heroin later on in her career.
Really?
Yep, she showed her boobs.
My wife
bar.
Is going to hate me.
What's the name of that movie?
I think it's called Chasing the Dragon.
I'll check it out.
If you had a VCR, you put it on pause on the VCR.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes.
You had a rewind, pause.
Yes.
Tell them in the comments.
Kinky Crimes, what do you ever take? It's time to get kinky.
Monday. Oh,
shoes.
Here we go.
We're talking feet.
Here I know you we are. Go.
Clapping.
I'm just surprised y'all with this one. A Kentucky couple, well, at least I hope they're a couple, was arrested last week after allegedly getting it on while standing at the bar at Brew Company Underground in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Oh, my.
Video of the couple getting freaky quickly made its way to TikTok. I remember we need to do one of those. Show him the
one
man first with his hand down the back of the woman's pants, and the couple then dropping their pants completely.
Heck? That's illegal.
You know, right? Bystanders to the bar were clearly shocked. Some asshole so shocked they shot a video of it. But bystanders to the bar were clearly shocked by the scene of the man just standing there. Bare ass at the bar going to town on his girlfriend.
Yes.
Police arrived a short time later where the owner of the bar said the couple was thrown out for attempting to engage in sex acts. I think based on the video, a little more than an attempt was made.
Mm.
The couple were determined to be under the influence of alcohol, like Mike Agravino in his last story.
Yep.
And ultimately, police arrested Sean Clark, 47, and Stephen Brown, 49, on charges of all kinds of stupid shit. The video of the couple's romantic encounter has been removed from TikTok, but if you want to see it, you can easily find it on Twitter. Just searching for the Bowling Green, but don't say I didn't warn you.
That's right.
Well, the thing is, if they were 27 and 29, I might go searching right now. 47 and 49, it's probably pretty sloppy, I'm thinking.
Well, hey, they got some really good looking 40 and 50-year-olds out in this world, Michael.
Your kinky cries, Anaconda.
But they
get kinky in the barroom.
Let the Anaconda come out in the barroom.
Yes.
Wait, I don't get banjos anywhere? What the hell?
You didn't have a dumb crime.
I don't have an episode without banjo. I permission to tell a story.
We did your.
You already had permission on us. We thank y'all and love each and every one of you. And Mike's really pissed off now. But
I took his dumb crime with the hunt gun.
Oh, you had a dumb crime earlier. You had the first. Yeah, something earlier.
He stole my hunt. My dumb criminal.
Can't get it all.
I never got to hear banjos.
Appreciate love all of y'all. Remember the people who died on D-Day tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And all that good stuff.
And hey,
eat some HelloFresh this weekend.
Please leave us a review if you're inclined.
Oh, you gotta love it. Even if you're not inclined, it's very entertaining if you want to go read the 1 stars that come out for Real Life Real Crime since Real Life Real Crime Daily started. They cap on Mike. Capped on you directly. Yeah. They cap on me. We've been called everything from racist to domestic violence lovers to political.
I want everyone to know that it was really cruel of Woody to post that Casey and the Sunshine Band thing and do it under my name so that people are blaming me for that.
I didn't even get to see the video. I went to it the day after, and one of the moderators had taken it off because people were going
off about it. Well, that's absolutely the funny thing. Bullshit. Yeah. It's a free speech country, and we should not stop the audience
private
from
group
telling me whatever
like
how awful I am, whatever.
Fans, friends,
I didn't
fans,
know
and
actually
crew
that he had
page. It's over 41,000 members now. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Go, hey, y'all go check us out on the app. Go check us out on Facebook. And it's all love. Love you to death. Thank you
Till
so much.
Till next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily, peace.
Shh, business.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.